Welcome to the Welsby Shift podcast, business and life coaching that works. We are Amanda Welsby and Emma Welsby, two sisters with one goal, to share tools that may help make navigating life easier. Who you are filters into everything you are and do, whether it be your work life or family life. We help to surface strategies that may assist you in finding ways that improve outcomes and make life and work feel a whole lot more manageable. In each podcast, we will discuss common life topics with insights that may help to make your life an easier place to be. Welcome to the Welsby Shift podcast.
Hey, so Emma, we're going to talk about anger today. Mm-hmm. I think anger is a really interesting topic because people express their anger in a really a myriad of ways, right? And I'm wondering, how do you experience anger in your life?
It's a good question, that one. So I generally feel the injustice with complete rage. I get very cross about it in my mind. So my internal monologue is going like the clappers. I'm making up all these stories about why someone said that and what makes them such an awful person that they've said that or done that to me and how awful they are. And like, I can't believe that they think that's okay to behave like that or to say something like that or to do something like that to me. And then I get the rage about like, you know, how dare they do that to me? Because part of my life story has been that I would generally let things happen to me and kind of roll over and go, later, what was that? And it's too late in the moment to deal with it, which is something I've had to learn to kind of catch it when it happens and deal with it in the moment. So, so just that inner monologue going like the clappers, I get furious and then it's almost like the floodgates open and then sometimes I cry. Because it just, I think I get flooded with emotion and overwhelm and too many thoughts. It's too much. And that's how it comes out in me. And I've had to find ways that, you know, in my personal life and business life, it's not always appropriate to cry in that moment because it just, it can completely destroy your message, your stance, everything, and then you say things you don't mean. And I think often I find that it's good to have a break after you've been angry to go away and think about it and calm down somewhere else.
Right.
Think about the
So we're going to go that direction in a bit, Emma.
Yeah.
Right. So, but what was the thing that was interesting to me that you just said was that you learned your default with anger is to roll over and just sit in it, right? And that I think I'm hearing a path of growth for you is to catch yourself in it and try and learn what the anger is telling you earlier. Whereas for me, the opposite is true, actually, is that my anger is typically externalized very quickly, and it can come out so fast that I've had to learn to cool off before I do anything with it, right? My inclination is towards overinflated anger. Because, you know, anger is not a good or a bad emotion. Typically, people think when you ask somebody what a good emotion is or a bad emotion, anger is the first one on the list of bad emotions because of what we have been taught. But in fact, anger holds equal weight with all other emotions when it's identified properly and used as a navigating tool for what has to come next. And for you, you need to catch it early and use it as a navigating tool. And for me, I need to leave it over there a little bit before I use it as a navigating tool. So Emma, how have you found, is there a difference in the way that you deal with anger in your personal life versus in business?
Whoa, that's a good one. I think in my personal life, I definitely feel it go cool off, think about what it is I'm going to say. So it's a constructive conversation, go back and have the conversation. And I think in my personal life versus my business life, in my personal life, I think there is more room to get it wrong and correct it. Than in your business life, you've really got to get it right the first time. So I think with business, I have a lot more patience for people, when they make me feel that way, which is pretty rare to be fair. But when it has come up, I've had to have the layer of professionalism. I don't let it blow up, and I go away. Again, and think about it. And then it's like, okay, how do I come back to that person and move what it is forward without being emotional and without tearing to strips what it is that they might have done? So they might have poured their heart and soul into some work that they've done, which completely wasn't to the brief or just wasn't up to scratch. And it's infuriating because you've paid somebody for that time to do that thing. And you're thinking, I could have done it myself faster. Like, why do I bother paying people to help me do this stuff? Do I have to do everything myself? Like, you get into that kind of mindset of thinking. But yeah, it's like how to come back to them without destroying them, like without ruining their morale, without destroying how they feel about working for me. Like, I want to have like happy people at work for me that are always happy to show up and always want to try their hardest. And that's the thing, is that people most often times are trying their hardest, even if it doesn't quite look like it to you.
That's exactly right. And so I want to actually pick up on something else you said there, Emma. You said, make me feel that way. So one an important principle that I've had to learn is that nobody makes me feel. I choose my responses to the inputs that I'm given. And that has significantly helped me in understanding different ways of looking at a dynamic that is happening right now, because you're dead right, Most of the time, nobody is intending to trigger an anger response in you. That is not typical human psychology. Oh, I want to make Emma angry today. Absolutely not, So the chances are that when you encounter that feeling within yourself, it's actually nothing about that other person who's genuinely just seeing the world from different perspectives than what you are right now, understanding something different about what they thought the brief was, But you're responding from within yourself. That's all about you and what has been happening in your day to day, rather than about them.
And also, it's the classic, what part did I have to play in this dynamic that made it this way in the first place? Because I think when you get angry with someone, it's almost like you're passing all the power to them about how you feel. So you're almost like completely disempowering yourself. So that's how I often think, right, well, I want to be in control of my day, how the work is done, and I'm not gonna let that person take my joy. But actually, it's me that's taking my joy away from myself in that day.
Exactly. And in the corporate environment that I'm in, it's also they're very hierarchical. They just are, right? It's the way business has to work. There have to be some, who's the decision maker and all. So it's important to very clearly understand what is yours to carry or care about. And what is not? I actually have this note on my screen, on my monitor. It says, what is your burden to carry here? And if it's not yours, Amanda, zip it. Was my opinion asked about it? Okay. If my opinion was asked, I'll give it. But then my opinion was all that was asked. I don't need to go on a crusade. And in fact, I have been on crusades fighting for the justice that I thought was necessary. And I've literally hurt myself in those moments in a work setting, which is why I have this nickname for myself, which is Anne Boleyn, which, if you don't know, Anne Boleyn was the second wife of Henry VIII. She was quite a feisty woman. And some of that feistiness almost certainly led to her getting her head chopped off. And while I clearly still have my head on my shoulders, sometimes maybe it's only just, that's the truth about that. So it's important to know when to step back from your anger because while it's triggered, it's not your situation to solve for.
Exactly. I think as well, there's that old phrase of expectations are premeditated disappointments, right? So that can
Yes.
also play a part in anger as well, because often, especially in work, you have a lot of expectations of people that you're paying to do things, and then heck, you're disappointed by it. So
Absolutely.
yeah, and it can be really hard because you want to, if you've chosen people to work for you, you want to believe that they can do the best possible work. You know, you found the best possible people out there that you can possibly buy, that money can buy. And when they don't deliver, the feeling of disappointment can be just horrible. It can almost feel like a betrayal in a way. Like, why would they do this? You know, I've been working so hard to build this thing. I'm pulling in all the money to then pay you people so that you can live. Why are you not doing working as hard as I am and care as much as I do? Like, and they probably do, but sometimes it just doesn't look like it. But that is only your own interpretation of what others are thinking, because what I've learned is 9 times out of 10, if you're guessing what the other person is thinking, it's usually wrong.
So, I did a really interesting exercise with some people that I work with, that I coach, mentor, and it was around understanding that there are different ways of looking at the world. And I call it the tissue box analogy, and maybe we'll talk more in more detail about that, but on another podcast. But I asked people to think about an event, any event, to not tell the others, and to then come up with the three most important things that they perceived would have to be done to organize this event. And three out of the six of the people actually happened to pick a birthday party. And let me tell you, they each had some of the same things, but radically different ideas about the three most important things in organizing a birthday party. And by the end of this exercise, they were looking at each other like, really? You thought of that first? Because it was different. So often when we feel angry or any emotion at all, but especially with anger, that and when it turns to rage over inflated anger, it's based on your tiny sliver of perspective on this circumstance that happened that honestly would probably not be the first go-to for most people, but of course we think that it is. And then we wonder why we, when we spew it out, allow it to come out sideways, it all goes wrong. However, there are circumstances in which it's really important to honor your anger and to deal with it in a healthy way. And so I'm wondering if you have any examples around that.
Dealing with anger in a healthy way.
Yes, because it's an important navigating tool. So we've talked a lot about what I would call overinflated anger, right? But we said at the beginning that anger is an equal emotion with all others when it's correctly identified and appropriately used. What does that look like for you?
I do have a situation where I had somebody working for me, and this work that had come back was just shockingly bad. And it had been a long string of events of shockingly bad work that had come through. And I was just thinking, what the heck is this? Like, I've given you a massive opportunity of a career change by working for me, and you give me this and do it many, many times. And in the end, after I'd gone and shouted and screamed in the bathroom about it with myself,
In the bathroom with yourself, yes.
I came back, and the question I asked was, are you okay? And guess what? This person was not okay. And in fact, life was a complete mess for this person and couldn't think straight. And that's actually what was the issue, not the work. And then you start to listen to someone and you learn a lot by listening. So all of a sudden, all of that like stories and assumptions I'd been making in the bathroom, with one sentence of when they told me what the problem was, it completely just diffused the whole thing. Whereas I could have sat for 3 days, gotten super pissed off, spent loads of emotional energy on it, not been able to think straight to do other work tasks that I needed to do, and it took one sentence to diffuse it. And you can never know what is going on in somebody's life. You just can't. I don't think anybody sets out to do crap work. I just don't.
Yeah. And so, using a more personal example then from my side of the equation is that I was married for 13 years to a man who I loved very dearly, but he was an alcoholic, still is an alcoholic. And I got increasingly angry and resentful and bitter about all of the things that I had to do to manage the household because he was not holding it together. And in the end, I had to understand my anger as the trigger for the change that I needed to make. So anger is almost always telling you that something needs to change. There is a boundary, there's been a violation, there's been something happen that tells us that something needs to change but won't change unless we recognize that emotion and do something about it ourselves. Because remember, my externalized anger put out onto him is not going to make him change anything. In fact, it's probably going to make him dig in his heels even more. The change had to come from me. And so I had to address in that situation, I had to address one of my other huge issues in life, which has been codependency. And I had to use my anger, right? Use my anger to make the change, which was squirrel away some money and then pick up my three children who were the age of 6, 9, and 11 at the time, move out and remove myself and them from this toxic environment that we were living in. I used my anger to create the change I needed. I still look back on that and I'm kind of amazed that what I did there, but that's a really healthy way to leverage anger for a positive result.
It's
So
that phrase, like, if you choose to dance a different dance, then everybody has to start dancing differently around you. And that's when you stay empowered in your own situation. So it's like,
yeah.
okay, well, I'm pissed off about this, so I'm going to start doing things like this and see what they'll do.
Yeah. So I have another question for you, Emma. How do you deal? So the reason the motivation for this question right now is that this morning I came down the stairs, I had my hands full of things, my thankfully empty mug was precariously balanced on the top of my phone. And you know what happened next, right? The mug falls off the phone and smashes into many pieces on the ground. And I thought, I think this is the universe telling me something about something I need to bring up in this anger podcast I'm about to record with Emma. So before I tell you how I dealt with it, how do you deal with anger or annoyance? Maybe anger is the wrong word, annoyance with yourself.
So, yeah, I get cross. I call myself all sorts of things under the sun. Usually involves the word stupid. I call myself all sorts of things, and then I'm like, would I speak to someone else and call them these things? And then I think, well, no, actually, that's being really harsh to myself. Like, where is the care for me? Like, I've dropped something and I've smashed it. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. And it kind of feeds into this other thought that I'd had about when you've lived as many years as I have, no. when you've lived enough of life and you think about how many times you have been angry in your life. And then you think back to some of those scenarios that might have happened 15 years ago, and you're just like, did it really matter? Like, all that energy was expended on that. And now, 15 years later, I couldn't give a toss about what happened back then. And I could have had a nicer day off the back of it. So it's all about, I
Absolutely.
guess, what I'm getting at is like keeping it in perspective.
That's right. That's right. Because was it really worth the blood pressure spike, at the time? And what's that? We know that there's plenty of research about stress and how that affects long-term health outcomes. Yeah. And so, whereas once I know I would have been really mad with myself over, this mug breakage, today I'm like, I literally said out loud, so that really just happened.
Exactly.
Because I'm getting ready for this podcast and now I've got to clean up a mess first, right? But I'm not going to raise my blood pressure over it. In fact, if I get upset about the fact I have to clean up this mug, it's going to ensure that I will do a less good job of this podcast with you 15 minutes later. And it's the same with our kids, right? There's some things when we need our anger to help drive them in the right direction in a appropriately in an appropriate way without overinflating and hurting anybody. But the more you scream and yell at the kids, I think the less likely you are to get the result that you want.
Exactly. And also they learn that that is how you deal with your problems. So they learn that shouting and screaming is how you deal with it. So guess what? What happens when they have a problem with you is they'll start shouting and screaming at you. So it just literally comes back round like a huge mirror in your face, and it's
It really
challenging.
does. Yeah, absolutely. And then kids, if you've been brought up in an angry household like that, where anger was the go-to emotion, then it's the whole how you do anything is how you do everything, right? If that's the only tool you have in your toolbox is anger, then everything gets dealt with in that way, and it's not going to work out very well for you. So.
I think I've developed over the years this kind of response where when it's getting too ridiculous, I kind of just start to laugh because it's like, is this actually happening right now? Like, this is ridiculous. Like, what are you doing? What am I doing? Like, it's just such a nice way to just like diffuse the whole situation, and that's the thing. It's like finding what it is for you is the way that you diffuse things. So you can either laugh, think straight, and be able to do the classic respond, not react to things that are happening.
Yeah, absolutely. I respond, don't react. And that requires that you have to look inward first, right? My automatic reaction to externalize my anger is never ever going to help me. Look inward first, understand what's going on there for you, and then make your calculated response.
Yeah, and it's a skill in itself to be able to catch yourself when you're triggered and think it through right there and then without doing what you normally do, because it's so ingrained in your brain to go, you behave like this in this situation. But to actually go, no, like I have this feeling, what am I going to do with it now? Like it's so hard. It can take years to crack some of it. Some of my stuff has taken me years to crack down on it. Like I've struggled. It happened this week actually. Somebody in a shop was mad at me for my child pushing a pram when they were trying to walk past. And you know, it's like somebody being angry at me. Like years ago, I would have let that roll, and then I would have come out of the shop and gone, did that just happen right now? But instead, I actually managed to say something to that person about how being a mum is hard enough without having members of the public tutting at me rather than helping me. And I was really proud of myself just to go bang, no, we're not doing it. This is not how it is. But it's taken me bazillions of years to get to that point where I'm just not like a leaf floating around feeling all these emotions. And I think one of the things you can feel like when you're angry is that you are right. And it takes a lot to get to the point where you realize that you're not always right. So I'm now able to feel angry with somebody like that, but not be incredibly mad at them and know that I might not be right in the moment, but I'm going to say my piece, which is polite and measured.
Yes, absolutely. Which comes back to the whole perspective piece, right? You did not know what was going on with that woman that day, right? And you're right, the way she responded to you was not nice.
Here's the other
And
thing that I find completely fascinating is years ago, I used to watch people drive their cars badly. And I'd be like, wow, that's a really angry person. What an idiot is what I think. And now I think, wow, you're a really angry person. What is so bad in your life that you walk around, well, not walk, you drive in public like this? In a really angry way to show the whole world that inside your soul something is really not right. And actually, in some ways, it's showing people a very vulnerable part of yourself when you're spewing it out like that. It's like, that's not a happy person. What's going on at home? You know, what's going on in their work life? Why are they so unhappy like that? And that's what I thought about the women in the supermarket. I wasn't instantly like thinking, you're an idiot. I was like, well, why is your life so awful that you're like literally annoyed at a woman with a pram in a supermarket and you're publicly behaving in this way? What's up?
yeah. So to wrap this up, Emma, it's brilliant. Let's leave people with that thought, right? When you are experiencing the motion of anger, what is going on with you? It's neither good nor bad. It's just a discovery of the facts of what is going on with you. And then you're equipped to start looking at what your anger is telling you and where you need to go with it. But ask that question first: what is going on with me right now? And see how it changes your perspective.
It's beautiful. It's beautiful.
All right, so until next time, Emma.
I bid you farewell.
Okay.
Thanks so much for listening today. We really appreciate you. If you liked what you heard today, then please follow or subscribe to the podcast so that you won't miss any episodes. You can do this by going to the show page on your chosen podcast player and click the plus or follow buttons. If you like the podcast, please leave us a 5-star review and share with a friend. Don't forget to visit the website thewellsbyshift.com to find out more about our business and life coaching that we offer. And why not come to check out our blog posts, videos, and more. See you next time.